Good evening and thank you for joining us again on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back studying Tara Rye Bible study, Tell It Well. We have last week Tara storied chapter 3 of the book of Acts, and it was amazing. It's a short chapter, but a lot of meat in there.
It is a lot. It is a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. Is that funny? I could say it again and again. I ended with a question last week. I asked the question, does God have expectations on us? Because we're talking about Acts 3. And just to give you a summary of what it is Pentecost has happened. Mm-hmm. At this point, Peter and John are going into the temple. And as they're going in, there's a beggar. And he asks them for silver and gold. He's asking for alms, essentially, which is money. And Peter says, look at me. And he says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have in the Lord Jesus, he says, the Lord Jesus of Nazareth, I give you. And he lifts him up, and the man is healed. And then the religious people all in the temple are so excited, they come running. And then Peter begins to give a sermon because he's got so many people. And he reminds them of Abraham, Moses, Samuel, the prophets, all of them foretold that God would send a suffering servant, and yet they killed and rejected him. So that's where we're at this week. And we opened up with that a walk of authenticity must be in the name of Jesus. That's mm-hmm. the whole point that Peter makes. Mm-hmm. And he says it over and over in his sermon. And he names Christ. He gives three great titles that we'll cover in one of the weeks here as we're going through this Acts 3 for this month. And it has to be in the name of Jesus. But last week we asked the question, and I really want us to struggle with this, because Sabrina and I started to go into, I'm like, wait, I want us to get this struggle out on the radio. Does God have expectations on us?
And
there, don't worry about your answer.
This is what I think. I think that God has expectations. That's why he gives us the Ten Commandments, to give us boundaries of how to live. And he expects that if you are abiding in him, that the fruit, that the overflow will be love, peace, joy, you know, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And out of that, you won't want to kill. You won't want to murder, you know.
Right.
So I would say yes.
Yes.
He does.
You're so cute. I'm going to tell
a
story.
At her like,
she's like, I don't want to be on the spot. Well, you can make me give my answer. Is it right or wrong? You know what? I'm going to say yes and amen. And then I'm going to say, but.
Okay.
Okay. Let's really tear this apart. What made me struggle with this, at some point, I don't know, within the last 2 or 3 years, I can't remember when this happened, but I was walking into church. It wasn't even a person who was a member of my church, but it's a person I know in our city as a church prayer warrior and an incredible worship leader. Highly honor and respect this woman. And she just looked at me and she goes, you know what? I think we need to go to the prayer room and we need to pray. And I am so there. It's like somebody says to pray, and I knew it wasn't for me to pray. It was for me to receive. So we went to the prayer room at my church, and we're in the prayer room, and she's praying, and I don't remember anything she said, but she said one sentence. She said, God has no expectation on you. And I kind of bristled. I kind of, actually, if you want to know the honest truth, I got angry in my heart, and I'm thinking, what do you mean God doesn't have any expectations? Of course, God, he has commands. And instead of receiving my prayer that she was praying into me, I started going off onto theology 101. I don't know. My brain went off into the Bible teacher realm, and I did not receive what I needed to receive in the prayer. It would not leave me for weeks. Everything I did, I was asking the question, does God have expectations on me? People have expectations on me. People have expectations out the gazoo. Where there are expectations, there's usually some kind of disappointment. And started really struggling with this. And then all of a sudden it occurred to me, it depends on how I define it. Okay? Mm-hmm. An expectation is when somebody has a demand on us that we have to fulfill, and that if we don't fulfill it, we can disappoint. Okay.
I got it.
Okay. And so God, he created us. He loves us. He desires to be in relationship with us. And he has given us commands, and commands are for us to obey. I would not call a command an expectation. And see, your brain and my brain went the same direction, Sabrina. And because a command is a command, you know, either you obey it or you don't. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so I started mulling through this and really just tearing this up in my head. And then I was studying this here particular section and thinking through what even how Peter dialogues the sermon with the Jewish leaders, how he takes them through their history, how he takes them through Abraham, Moses, Samuel, the prophets, to help them see what God had said was coming and how they didn't. And he even in gracefulness says, out of ignorance, you didn't get it. And how God still, out of grace, mm-hmm. met what he said he was going to do. And so I came to the conclusion that God has commands for us, and he wants us to walk in obedience. But the expectations that cause us to wear pressure, to have a burden, to wear a weight, that is not from God. Because what does he say in the New Testament about your burden?
Yoke, yeah.
What does he say about his yoke?
Yoke is light.
Okay.
Heavy is burden.
So can an expectation, it depends on how you define it. Mm-hmm. Okay, do you see where, so it's like almost like a trick question, right?
Well, we in our human minds, which are pea size, we just, because of people putting expectations and we putting expectations on others, just think, well, God has to be the same, but he is omniscient. He is sovereign. He doesn't think that way we do.
Exactly.
And it's hard to, as a human, to think that God wouldn't do the same. That he's not disappointed.
Right.
You know, if we don't, give or do it, all that the Bible says. In our minds, we think he's disappointed in us.
Yeah. And that rules out the unconditional love, mm-hmm. you know, and what Peter did, I want us to look at this. I think he gave us an example of some things that we need to think about. So coming back to that question, what does God expect of us? And let's say this in the positive way, not in the burden way. Okay. So in the name of Jesus, going back to morality, I had opened up last week mm-hmm. telling about us watching a movie called Time Changer, and the quote that said that Satan doesn't care about moral people. In fact, he has no problem with them at all. His problem is that when we connect morality with the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. the authority, there is authority in the name of Jesus. If there is an expectation that God would have on us, it would be that we do it in the name of Jesus. That would be it.
And just a quick question. When it says in verse 6b, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Why did they use Jesus Christ of Nazareth?
You know, think about Nazareth. What was the...
Because that was where he just...
It's to show where he was from, but, you know, he just letting them know it's Jesus, because they had the view of a political leader. Nazareth was a place that was not worth anything. And mm-hmm. he's defining it's the Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, I imagine there were probably, because there's Jesus Barsabbas, the name Jesus was a common name. So one, he's making sure that people knew which, you know, clarifying and stuff, and defining who he is, but making it known, because he goes through in his sermon and he says several times, he says, God told us he was sending his suffering servant, and you rejected him. You killed him. You slayed the author of life. The holy and righteous one you rejected, he said. And so he takes them through, was it the holy and righteous one they murdered, his suffering servant they delivered and disowned, and the author of life they killed. Those are the specifics that he gave. But we'll go into those more in depth. What I want you to see is that it's in the name, in the name, in the name. So Because the name brings authority. And we need to really think through that. And in the name of Jesus, the authority that it brings, because Peter tells them, why are you surprised? Why are you so surprised? Look, look, he is not standing because of anything we've done. It's because in the name of Jesus, he is made complete. He is made whole. Mm. And we can go and we can do a host of things. But if we're not doing them in the name of Jesus, then it really is not going to have the power and the authority. And that is the reason why Satan does not care about morality. He doesn't care if there are good and moral people. He doesn't care if there are things that are going, you know, great and wonderful and everybody's like, woohoo, this is the way it's supposed to be. What he cares about is if what we're doing is being done in the name of Jesus. Mm. And that would be, I would say, be the ultimate thing for us to do to bring high honor to God, is for us to honor his son. Because think of the scripture that says, he who lifts me up, lifts up the Father.
The exalt? He exalts?
No, okay. I just lost it. I think it's that if we lift him up, we lift up the Father. But it may be different translation, the exalt is maybe what it is. Okay. But it's the lifting. It's the lifting up. When we lift him up, we're honoring the Father. And so making sure that we have that. Now, then he goes through. So we have the expectations. People have expectations mm-hmm. on us. And I don't know about you, but when somebody has a lot of expectations on me, I have a need to give explanations. Do you?
Oh, I just, when I feel expectations on me, I feel overwhelmed.
I do too. And God, so I forgive guess, me, because I know I've put those on you in the past, and I'm sorry.
Oh, no. No, I mean, a lot of them need to be, because it's more of a good push, you know? But when it's so heavy where, it causes the excuses, like, I don't want, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the explanations come. And so Peter says to them, why are you surprised? And he begins to help them to see and to reason through. And at this point in the time after following Pentecost, what I love about the telling of what Peter does here, because what we're going to see unfold as we go through Acts completely, is that it is a retelling and a retelling and a retelling. And they're telling the same thing mm-hmm. over and over, but they're going to tell it differently each time. And one of the pressures that I have placed on myself, as if it was an expectation of God, when I do the storying of the scripture, I panic sometimes thinking I'm going to get myself in trouble with God, which is so crazy, because I've not told it right. Isn't that a reason why some people are afraid to tell
anything
about the Bible, about Jesus or anything? Because we have become a society, we're so into methods that we can get so heavily method-oriented mm-hmm. that we have forgotten it's not the method, it's the message.
And I think we also, and this is me too, as a culture, just thinking that sometimes giving the gospel message is not speaking anything. It's loving somebody and meeting a need and then opening a door to share. You don't have to give like the Romans road to everybody. I mean, you take a meal to somebody who's sick and then they're just so broken that you even took time for them. And then they say, why would you do that? Well, you always need to be ready. And what does it say? 1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to share the hope of God to those that have no idea.
Right. And the hope of God is?
Jesus Christ.
That's right. So when we have delivered that soup and somebody asks us, that if we come and we bring it into, I do this because of Jesus. That's the reason. That right there opens the door, breaks down the barriers, prepares a bridge, so that you can do the communicating that needs to be done. The problem is that oftentimes we're not willing to stand up and see when there is a crowd gathering. Now, just as Peter saw the beggar when he was seeking out alms, when the people came running, when the beggar was dancing, and he could see upon the crowd of the people, that they were curious as to what was happening. In both cases, Peter gives it in the name of Jesus. Mm. It didn't matter if it was the individual, and it didn't matter if it was the group. In both cases, he testified in Christ. And that really challenges me to think through in circumstances. And it's not that I'm going to be a person that's going to browbeat people. But as we live our lives and walk through our lives, we're going to have opportunities where we're going to be able to share. And I had an example when I was flying back from, I don't remember, a speaking engagement this past spring. I sat next to a pharmaceutical person, a person who works in a pharmacy, a pharmacist. And she was just talking to me about her conference that she had been at. And I mean, I didn't have to do anything. I just allowed her to tell me her world. And all I did was ask her questions. Yeah. And in the process, we started talking and I said, you know, and then we talked about healing and prayer. And then I just asked her simple questions and she ended up saying, she goes, well, what do you mean by prayer and healing? And I go, well, you know, holistically, that if we're doing as we should, yes, we're going to use medicine, but we're going to pray and seek God for healing. And we just started dialoguing. And by the time we were getting off the airplane, we had a whole hour and a half that we went deep. I can't even tell you how deep we went. She just looked at me and she goes, I really think that you have caused me to reevaluate my perspective on the Bible, and I'm going to have to rethink some things. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, I didn't get to go in and bring her in to the Roman road, as you would say, but I was able to give to her that Jesus came. It was by his wounds we are healed. Mm. And, I mean, share with her some pointed truths that have to do with healing. And because it was with her world, she wasn't offended in any way, shape, or form about our conversation. We were just two people dialoguing about life. And she was opened up because I wasn't coming at her like I'm going to push an expectation on right. you. I just shared with her what I knew, and she shared with me what she knew, and we batted back and forth. The key is that we be ready. You nailed it. It's mm-hmm. when an expectation comes that we are able to give the explanation, and the explanation's always going to focus in on who?
Jesus.
That's right. We're so glad that you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. This happened so fast, Sabrina. I just looked up and I went, wait a minute, there's no way. But we're done for today. You need to come back, because what we're going to do is we're going to look at knowing who the giver is and why it's so important. God bless.